You're listening to highlights from the Creative Processes interview with multi-instrumentalist, composer, interdisciplinary creative, and ADHD coach, Mattia Murray. This podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation.
Something I think about a lot is that the classical music world is incredibly elitist and still quite sexist. Non-binary, they, them pronouns. The elitism in particular, I didn't really get at because that's another autistic trait is not really attaching or understanding hierarchy. So I was thinking as I'm, you know, applying to things, applying to grants and opportunities, it's great to mention that I grew up poor. It's cool that I managed to still build a career in this space where most people have family wealth, basically. Then I was literally not getting anything I was applying for until I started removing them. And I was like, oh, they don't actually want to know that. They want to know that in retrospect, like once your career is already bigger, but as far as actually moving forward in the classical music world, that classism is actually really obvious and present. I think about that a lot when I reflect on how my childhood made me who I am, because I'm very proud of that. And at the same time, if I talk about it a lot, people are like, oh, why are you talking about that? In just again, in that little sliver of the classical music world, which I know is still not the whole world. I think in that particular example, it really was not exaggerating. I literally had not gotten a single grant or won anything until I started reshaping the way I was talking about my work. And then also the first bigger award that I won was anonymously judged. So they weren't looking at my whole resume. And then that kind of catapulted things. Just on that front, part of what I realized was, oh, okay, how I present myself matters, how I talk about myself matters. One of the things that I noticed worked well in just a lot of institutional settings is focusing on the positive and being more upbeat, which I can do. It's just as much masking as anything else. It doesn't feel that weird, but I realized that was one of the things that works in a lot of professional settings is just not saying anything too intense or dark or really about my past, because my life was so tough up until about age, 23, 24, that I can't really talk about much that happened in any detail without mentioning things that are pretty intense. That's when I stopped having so much food insecurity. I think about that a lot too, like the moments where like poverty is traumatizing and it's re-traumatizing. So having more stability. And in this case, going to my master's program from there on, I just had more stability, basically. It cut my anxiety by so much, not having housing insecurity for more of that time. There was a period of time where I was moving about every 6 months just because I couldn't afford anywhere that I was, like right soon before that, between like undergrad and that period. So yeah, I don't know. That's not really about like the creative stuff, but it's funny. And thinking about like the broad creative process, part of the reason I've had these periods of time where I write a whole bunch in a short amount of time is because I have the stability and the space to do so. I'm just like, great, I'll just write a whole bunch. And I would love it if my life had been a little bit more steady in terms of support for composition, but it's tough to build that if you don't have essentially generational wealth or some other kind of like societal support around that. During grad school, that was what I was doing. So I wrote quite a bit in that period of time because that was my main focus. And one of my favorite, probably my favorite piece I've written from that period is Smackety Bang. Great title. Two piano, two percussion. And that was an honors ensemble at New England Conservatory where I got my master's, performed that. So they did such a great job. The recording is so good. And I would have liked the piece anyway, but they just nailed it. And I feel like when you write, because it's kind of weird music, it's rhythmically very complex. And if it wasn't performed well, I might look back and go, I tried something. That's how some things feel. But then when you get that really great performance and they do it exactly the way I had it in mind, because I got to work with them as well, that really stands out to me as I had an idea, it worked. I like the way the piece sounds. And then also it did what I wanted it to do emotionally, even though, again, I know not everybody likes contemporary classical music, but that's probably my favorite piece. Okay, so fun story. That was when I was finishing up my master's thesis piece. That was actually a different piece. And then Smackety Bang was for like an internal competition in the school. And I told myself I couldn't start writing that until I finished my master's thesis piece, which I was just laboring over. Like I spent at one point, I think 3 days on the climactic three measures. And it turned out great. Like I'm very happy with that piece as well. And then basically told myself, if I finish this on time, I can go write this other piece. So I actually wrote Smackety Bang pretty quickly. And then it was great. So that happens every once in a while. But as far as the creative process goes, that like it was, I was already in a really good space creatively from having been like steadily working on a bigger piece. And then I was done with that. So I probably got a big rush of brain chemicals from that. And then I just dove in and did basically nothing else for a couple of weeks and wrote Smackety Bang. based on some, I had some previous notes. It wasn't like completely new, but it was mostly just getting it done by the deadline. And when that happens, which for me is, you can't force that to happen, right? Sometimes something just comes out well. I set the stage for it and it came out, but you can't really force that to happen. Because I've had other periods of time where I've done the same process and haven't been as happy with the result. I'm planning to actually delete my Facebook and then I'll be done with Meta. I've been on Facebook for 20 years, which is nuts. And part of what I was saying was just that I would rather pay a little bit for social media and not be the product. Like just to have a social media platform that's just good and that just gives me what I want without targeting a bunch of ads at me and then selling my data to other people. That side of it, I think the other piece of that, I don't know, I think about this a lot. Like, how are we actually connecting? And is that meaningful? And does it actually feel good? And I think we all get some of both. Like, some aspects of social media and the way that we interact online feel great and connected. And I'm like, yay, I get to keep track of all these friends from college that I wouldn't otherwise, for example. And then at the same time, there's all this data around Instagram knowing that it was making teen girls suicidal and that there were a number of deaths and they didn't do anything about it because that was internal data that they chose not to act on. And they sort of got in trouble for that, but not really. And they're, I don't know, it's a big complicated mess basically. But to me, a lot of it just comes down to what are we prioritizing as a society? And I don't understand why anyone would think that shareholders are more important than workers or people. My therapist just had me take a sensory sensitivity test recently, like an official one, and I was in the 98th or 99th percentile in every single category. So I'm just extremely sensitive on every front. And as an artist, that's not bad, right? I take in a lot of detailed information and my brain's constantly working with it, but it can be really hard to kind of fit into normal society if you're like that. And then if you're also an artist, and composers are who I know best historically, a lot had chronic illness. And they were just like, well, I can't go outside. I'm stuck in bed for a while. So I guess I'll sit and write. And a lot of authors as well, like writers as well have, and poets in particular, I think have a history of chronic illness, mental illness, and just being stuck at home basically. And like, well, I guess I'll write. As far as I can tell, experience everything very intensely. I am frequently, this is my joke, is I'm always pointing at smells and people are like, what are you pointing at? And I'm like, oh, right, you're not smelling that. So yes, I have a very intense experience of a lot of, I don't know, just everything. All my, like I said, all my sensory things are heightened. I was on a retreat where the only time I've done a full dose of psychedelics. And the day that we did that, and it was in like, it was beautiful. It was in Costa Rica. And so we're in the jungle. And there's like these huge blue butterflies, like all these beautiful things. And I kept pointing out little animals that we were seeing. And somebody was like, oh, you're noticing this because this heightens our, I was like, no, this is my normal experience. The psychedelic actually did not enhance my sensory experience at all. And for everybody else, it did. So that was really interesting to go, oh, my daily experience is what some people are getting on psychedelics. Like that's just my constant baseline. But what that did, that what that experience did was I wasn't able to dial them down. So I couldn't dissociate out or focus on one at once. It was like all the sensory stuff was just on full force. And I was like, wow, this is what my brain is like when I don't actively try to dial it back or focus. It's just this huge, I mean, overwhelming, but also really lovely because of the setting and all of that. And that was actually like, that was a deeply healing experience for me as well to just go, oh, I'm actually dealing with a lot more all the time. And look at how much support these folks need to have my daily experience. Like they need to be led around and fed and like, you know, which I sometimes do as well. But it was really interesting to get that really direct feedback about how intense my experience is compared to a lot of other people's. I so vividly remember the desire throughout pretty much most of my 20s and certainly my teen years to basically be a famous artist, win big awards. And when you dig down into what you actually want from that, it's connection. And especially like the teen brain in particular is extremely geared toward connection and is getting different brain chemical payouts for different things than adults are. So certainly when I think of like teenagers, I think of that drive for connection and fitting in and being accepted is so strong. And that was a part of my artistic output or desire as well. It was like, okay, if I write something world-changing, like then I'll be a really well-regarded composer and get that respect. Or if I go more the songwriting and film route, I can be beloved or have people love my music and have this emotional experience with my music, there were all these dreams that I had that I think largely boiled down to just wanting to be accepted. And you can get that outside of your career and outside of the arts. So yes, it's great, obviously, if I do end up making something world-changing, but I don't expect that. And you never know that that's going to happen. And if that were still my goal, I would be very frustrated with my life right now. But as it is, I've been able to kind of cobble together these various artistic things and do a little bit of things here and there, move in and out of projects. But because I'm not trying to be famous, essentially, or just get all of my emotional needs met through my career or my artistic output, I've been able to be a lot more chill about letting things happen and taking opportunities that are fun, but maybe not high paid or whatever. There's all these things that feed into that. So I know that's kind of wide ranging, but the advice of we're seeking connection, and you can find that in a lot of ways. And trying to meld that with the way you make money is very, very, very challenging, especially in this particular economic moment.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to these highlights. To listen to the latest episodes or learn more about participating in exhibitions or interviews, click on subscribe. Thank you for listening.